You're listening to the Bay Christian Family Church podcast.
Praise God. As you see that, open your Bible to James chapter 1. Now, this morning we were talking about understanding the faith of Abraham. If we're going to live by faith, and the Bible says that we are the seed of Abraham. If you're in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, and he is the father of us all. You could say he is the father of our faith, because the faith that he lived, God accounted it to him as righteousness. It's an amazing concept that he inherited righteousness as a gift before it was paid for on the cross. He got it on credit. It's the only one mentioned under the old covenant that received righteousness on credit, because he demonstrated how he lived the life of faith. And so if we're going to live by faith, we can learn from the one who was first mentioned of living by faith. That's Abraham. And one of the interesting things that Paul wrote is that he said that Abraham never doubted. Abraham never wavered. Never doubted. And we looked at that extensively this morning. How is it possible to never doubt? And I gave instruction from the word how that doubt can get in the way of what we need to receive and how that we can overcome that doubt. And I want to show you today how important it is, because sometimes we see these things and it's not about being doctrinally correct. We need to be doctrinally correct. You need to be right. I'm talking about there's some people that don't see that. Well, I just don't believe that. I don't believe that word of faith stuff. Well, I don't believe that. But I'm not here to debate that. I'm not trying to win an argument. I'm not trying to do anything. I'm going to show you from the word of God, how to live this life successfully. Because God says, I lay before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose. Choose. It's your choice. It's not like God just sovereignly decides you live and you die. No, there is God's will and plan, but you notice how he puts the choice in our hands. There is a choice involved. And if he says choose life, I need to know how to choose that life. And that's what we learn. That's all the teaching I do is based on the concept of how you're going to do this. I've been through messages where you just learn, well, that's wonderful. You know, it's good to know that. But what does that mean to me tomorrow? I want you to wake up in the morning and know what to do. And you say amen to that. So we're going to work now. I'm going to show you how, if this is so important to God, and it is, you'll notice how Jesus, all the way through his ministry, kept dealing with these issues. It's so important to know, because James says here in verse 5 of James chapter 1, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. In other words, he's not going to mock or tease you because of what you're asking. And he says, yeah, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So this is not just the way to receive wisdom. This is the way to receive anything from God. But you understand, to receive anything from God is founded in the wisdom of God. That's why Solomon said, he learned from his own father, wisdom is the principal thing. If we, sometimes people say, you know, this person has a drug problem. Really, it's not a drug problem, it's a wisdom problem. Somebody doesn't necessarily have a financial problem. Well, I don't know about that. No, it's a wisdom problem. Isn't that right? The reason we're struggling financially is because of bad decisions. It goes very quiet when you start meddling with me. You're blaming me. Hang on. God did say choose. Isn't that right? Don't let the devil choose for you. Don't let your pastor choose for you. Don't let your spouse choose for you. Certainly don't let the devil choose for you. Isn't that right? You choose. You make the choice. I say, you make the choice. Say, I make the choice. Now, the way to make a right choice is to have all the information available. You have to have all the information available to be able to choose. So if God says, "He by Jesus' stripes I've been healed," then I need to know how to access that healing. If He provides every need and He will bless you to increase more and more, and He wants to do in your life exceedingly abundantly above what you ask or think, He gives you everything pertaining to life and godliness, He's blessed you with every blessing, well, how do I work that out into my life? It's going to be wisdom. It's when you hear the word and you know how to apply that word, that's when you're going to walk in the fullness of it. But you notice how doubt will try and steal that from us. Once doubt enters in, all of a sudden, our mind starts to wonder, is this going to work? Is this going to happen? Is it so? Is there even a God? Come on, have you ever had that thought? Only three people. Okay. So the rest of you, just hang in there while I teach these three people. So our mind sometimes wanders. But this morning we learned that that doubt doesn't become doubt until we speak it. Because we must understand there's different aspects to doubt. Doubt is not unbelief. Matthew chapter 21, verse 20, when the disciples saw that Jesus had spoken to a tree and it died, they marveled, saying, "How did this fig tree wither away so soon?" So Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, if you..." Now they asked Him how He got it right, and He immediately throws it back and says, if you, say me, if you have faith and do not doubt, you'll not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, "Be removed and be cast in the sea," it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. So you do believe, otherwise you wouldn't be asking. But notice He says, if you have faith and do not doubt. So it's possible to have faith and still doubt. How's it possible to have faith? Well, it's not something you work at. You can't work faith up. If you're not strong enough, you'd go to the gym and you'd work out until you feel stronger. Isn't that right? If you're hungry, you will eat until you feel full. If you're thirsty, you will drink until you feel satisfied. Isn't that right? Even if you're trying to, if you think of emotions, somebody, you've hurt somebody, you will say, "I'm sorry, I apologize," and you'll keep feeling like you need to say sorry till they say, "It's okay, I forgive you." What happens? You feel better. Isn't that right? You, there's something you're looking for. But when it comes to faith, there's no feeling to it. That's sometimes where people make a mistake, because faith comes by hearing. So you have faith. "I wish I had more faith." Did you hear the scripture? Yes, you have faith. Just say it. I have faith. Now, it doesn't matter what you feel like. You have faith. So it is possible to have faith and doubt at the same time. But notice He says you can deal with the doubt. Having faith without doubting, then you can speak and things will happen because of what you said. And He confirms that in Mark chapter 11. This is the cross reference, verse 22. Jesus answered and said, "Have faith in God." See, my faith is not in man. My faith is not in what people have showed me. My faith is not in my circumstance. My faith is not in my boss. I don't care if the whole company, the boss says there's no increases this year. I don't have faith in what he said, because he's not my source. My God supplies all my needs. See, I have a word from God, and God's not limited to get stuff to me through my salary. Come on. Can someone say amen? Amen. The doctor says, "I'm sorry, but based on this report, this x-ray, you got 6 months to live." I'm not determined. My life's not determined by what the doctor said. He is going based on what he's learned and based on statistics. Statistics are history. I said statistics are history. Are you with me? Well, 1 in 5 million people. Well, I'm that one. that will survive. I don't care what statistics say. Let me rewrite them because I'm going to take what God said. Can I get a bigger amen? So assuredly, I say to you, whoever, say that's me, says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes the things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them, and you will have them. Notice, Jesus says here, if you do not doubt in your heart. James spoke about a double-minded man. So a double-minded man believes one thing, and then all of a sudden is moved by circumstances. I believe I'm healed, but then next moment, there's the pain. Oh, man, I'm still sick. No, hang on. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. And then all of a sudden, I'm still sick. Or I'm feeling. Someone says, man, you look bad. Yeah, I know. Every time flu comes, it hits me, man. Jeez, like I'm the first man in the office to get it every time. God, why is it always me? And then he says, oh, hang on. By Jesus' stripes, I'm being healed. And James says, this is flip-flopping. You've been tossed to and fro. That let not that man suppose he receive anything. Are you getting a hold of this? It's very important to get a hold of this, family, because if we don't understand this, miracles only happen to those who believe. How many want a miracle? See, it only happens to those that believe. Someone says, I don't believe miracles happen today. Well, it's not going to happen then. Miracles only happen to the believing. Can I get a bigger amen? Amen. See, doubts never produce anything. How many of you doubted your way into victory? No, James says that man won't receive anything if one's doubting. So here's the problem. Faith is very specific. If you can put it this way. As a man believes in his heart, so he will speak. Spirit of faith is having believed, I speak. Out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. Faith cannot shoot at two different opposing targets. Faith cannot shoot at two opposing targets. The moment we have two targets, then faith is not able to. It goes, okay, which one do you want? Are you healed or are you sick? Make a choice. Make a choice. Someone says, yeah, but my body. Now, hang on. There's a difference between facts and truth. Jesus is the way, the life, and the truth. How many of you believe right now? Let's just bring it down to the natural. How many of you believe right now the sun is producing light? But you look outside, it looks dark. Come on. The truth is the sun is producing light. The fact is the earth's in the way at the moment for us. So it's dark now. Isn't that right? Even on in the middle of the day, when there's clouds, the sun is still producing light, even though you can't see it. So what happens? I need to change my perspective. The fact is, the truth is, the sun's producing light. Just wait another few hours and you will see that truth become fact. So even though your body may be going through something, your bank account may be going through something, there may be an eclipse on your bank account. It's temporary. The sun is still shining. The provision of God is still there. You are already healed. So what must I do? Just keep the truth on your lips. Keep faith focused. Keep one target, one target, one target, one target, one target. I don't care what happens. You're not going to get me to change my confession. Because I've learned that sometimes it's just a matter of waiting out, and eventually, a few hours later, weeks later, months later, sometimes years later, that sun will rise and you will see the light and the power of God's word manifest. Come on, give Jesus praise. Come on, give him glory if you got a hold of that. Never consider any alternative to your miracle. Don't let people talk you out of your miracle. I tell you, there are whole seminaries, Bible colleges, dedicated to talking you out of your faith. They will educate you out of your belief. No one's going to talk me out of my faith. Family of God, you didn't have... Once I heard this message, I don't know, I just don't understand people that went, there it is, it's written clearly in the Word. Why would you want to debate your way out of a miracle? Come on, can I get a bigger amen? Because I want to see living miracles happen, and it's alive today. Watch this, Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Jesus went out from there. He came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. When the Sabbath had come, he began to teach. Everybody say teach. What happens when you hear the word? Faith comes. And many hearing him were astonished. Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom? Everybody say wisdom. Remember, if you need wisdom, where does wisdom come from? From God. Faith comes by? Hearing by? Jesus is the very word. This is the word himself speaking. And they say, where does this man get this wisdom, which is given to him? With such mighty works are performed. Such mighty works are performed by his hands. They are actually seeing. They've heard about the miracles. They've seen the miracles. Now he's come home. And I always, you know, it's not written yet, but I like to see this. If you like this, keep it. If you don't, we can still be friends. But this is my opinion. I kind of get the idea that Jesus went about and all these signs, wonders, miracles were coming. And then he remembered his brother, James, and he remembered his friend, Timmy, and he remembered, you know, all these guys, and he's got a limp, and he's struggling with a disease, and thinking, well, if this is happening, let me go home. Let me go home. I can help my own friends. Okay. How many of you can see that? That's the way I like to look at it. And so he says, yeah, they've heard about it. But then look at verse 3. Is this not the carpenter? This guy, you know, made furniture and maybe built a house or two. Where's he get this stuff from? He didn't go to Bible college. He hasn't been educated. Where does he get this stuff from? Is he not the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters with us? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet's not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now listen to this. He could do no mighty work there. He could do no mighty work there. It doesn't say he didn't or he chose not to. It says he couldn't. And if he couldn't, means he tried. Couldn't is a possibility word. He could do no mighty work there, except he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Those were mild and minor ailments. And he marveled because of their... See, unbelief is different to doubt. Unbelief is when someone makes a choice not to believe. They heard the word. They were astounded at his wisdom. They saw the miracles, but they said, what gives you the right to do it? And they were offended. And they chose not to believe. They it wasn't doubt, because they saw it happening. But that unbelief shut down the ability for them to receive their miracles. And so what was the solution? Jesus then went about the villages in a circuit teaching. He needed to go and say, okay, now listen, this is what the word says. You've based whether I can do this on my heritage and what my profession used to be. Let's get back to the Word. Family, don't debate people based on your theology, your denomination, your pastor. But my pastor said, yeah, but my pastor said, and even, no, but my pastor said. No, don't talk about that. That's why I give you scripture upon scripture upon scripture. So if anybody asks you, why do you believe that? Here it is. It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. The only way to overcome unbelief as well as doubt is by the hearing of the Word. Now, look at Mark chapter 1. We're going to look at some examples where we see Jesus dealing with doubt and very often unbelief as well. But watch this. Verse 40. A leper came to Jesus, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Listen to the wording. Did this man believe Jesus can heal him? Okay, it's not a trick question. Did he believe Jesus can heal him? Notice the second sentence. You can make me clean. So he did believe. You with that? So if he believes Jesus can make him clean, he has faith. But he has the doubt, if you're willing. He still wasn't sure. Now, we can't get on this leper's case because he doesn't yet have Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, and everything else. We're looking in hindsight based on what the Word teaches us. This man probably had no education. Being a leper, he's been excommunicated from society. No one's going to touch him. No one's going to lay hands on him. No one's going to talk to him. And so he has no idea. But he has heard that Jesus is healing. So maybe there's a possibility of him healing me. So here's an uneducated person who doesn't know the will of God, and he says, if you are willing. Family of God, that's an uneducated leper, so let's not make that our doctrine. People pray, if you are willing. That is not a prayer of faith. Because if I start with, if you are willing, then I'm not in a position of faith. Someone says, yeah, but even Jesus prayed, Lord, let this cup pass from me, but not my will be done, but your will. No, that's the prayer of consecration. That's saying, I have a will, but I'm going to lay my will down to take up your will. He knew what the will of the Father is. He's not saying, if you're willing, I'll go to the cross. He knew God wanted him to go to the cross. That's where the prayer of will is. Are you with me? But if the moment I start with, if you are willing, that is doubt. Like sometimes people will say, well, God, if you want me to go over there, then do this. Now, hang on. Maybe God does want you to go there, but he doesn't want this to happen. That may not be in his will. See, that's like putting fleeces out. The only problem with putting fleeces out, you're getting set up to be fleeced. Because the devil knows how to make six camels walk through the door when you, are you with me? So you begin with knowing the will of God. You have to know. If you're going to ask in faith, make sure, first go to the Word, get God's issue on it. Even if you have to wait, keep listening. Father, what is your will in this situation? I need to know, because the only way I can stand in faith is by hearing and hearing your will in this situation. So yeah, we can see there's an expression of doubt. He has faith. You can make me clean. The doubt is, if you are willing. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him. So he laid hands on him and said, he touched and said, I am willing. What's he doing? Dealing with the doubt. I am willing, be cleansed. Now, when was the man healed? Verse 42, as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Hang on, step back now. What was the process? If you're willing, doubt, you can heal me, faith. What's Jesus say? He puts his hands on him. Now, if it was just the sovereign power of God that healed, the moment he put his hands on him, he should have been healed. Look, read it. It's written right there. He laid his hands on him. Nothing happened. See, the woman with the issue of blood says, if I can touch him, I will be healed. Jesus didn't say anything. She touched, bam, she was healed. Yeah, Jesus touches this man, nothing happens. So what does he do? I am willing. He clears the doubt. And as soon as he spoke, he was healed. Only when the doubt was removed, the power flowed. You see that? That'll help a lot of people. Well, if you believe in healing, go into the hospital and just lay hands on everybody, empty all the beds. Jesus didn't even do that. Jesus didn't do that. He didn't heal everybody that he went. There was Peter one day, they're going down to pray, and there's a man at the gate, beautiful. And he cries out, and he says, asking for money, and Peter says, gold and silver I don't have. I gave it all in the last offering. And so that's me. That's not in the Bible. So he says, gold and silver I don't have, but what I have, I give to you. Pick up your bed and walk in the name of Jesus. That man sat at the gate right through the ministry of Jesus. Jesus walked past him every day when he went to pray. You getting this? So what was it? That man's faith had to grow. And Peter looked and seeing he had faith. Are you with me? You'll see that often. They'll say, seeing he had faith. Seeing he had faith. Now, here's this man. He has faith. Jesus can heal him. But it wasn't just the touch that healed. Once he had spoken, that doubt was removed. Okay, so what was his cure for doubt? Knowing the will of Jesus. All right, Luke chapter 13. Listen to this one. Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. When Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. So he starts with speaking. Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. Last time he spoke to this leper, it was in the speaking that the healing was released, right? But now he says, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. Nothing's happened yet. He laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Isn't that interesting? Two different accounts, two different results. The one had the faith, but doubt got in the way, and Jesus cleared that doubt by establishing his will. This woman hears the word, but nothing happened until he laid hands. Her faith was in the touch. You getting this? So knowing the will of God is critically important. And then stepping further and acting on that will. So Jesus dealt with these two situations differently. So it's not just the speaking of Jesus, it's also the laying on of hands. So here we see, one, this leper was shocked, I'm sure, that Jesus even put his hands on him, because you don't touch lepers. And then Jesus spoke. And then this person spoke, but it was on the touch that she was healed. But what happened to the centurion when he came to Jesus and said, "My servant is sick at home"? And Jesus said, "Well, take me to him. Do I need to lay hands on him? Do I need to speak to him?" And the centurion said, I'm not worthy to have you under the roof of my house, but you can stand right here and speak, and he'll be healed." He's not going to have hands laid on him. He's not even going to hear Jesus speak. But the centurion, standing in intercession for him, says, "You just speak, and he will be healed." And Jesus, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. Some need to hear, some need hands. This one says he doesn't even need to hear you off your hands. You just speak. Oh, come on, give Jesus praise. Thank you, Jesus. I tell you, I just love that Jesus is willing to meet you wherever you're at. See, we overcomplicate these things. Well, how did you get healed? And then we try the same thing and it doesn't seem to work. Where's the hindrance? There may be an area, but doesn't matter where that doubt is. There's blind, the man Bartimaeus comes up to Jesus, crying, "Son of David, Son of David, Son of David." Jesus calls him over and says to him, "What can I do for you?" It's kind of obvious, isn't it? "No, I need to hear. What are you asking for?" "Lord, that I can see." His next question, "Do you believe I'm able to do this?" "Well, why am I asking?" No, there's a clarification. The moment he says, "I believe," there you go. Now, you've removed the doubt and you believe, you see. Found Mark chapter 4, Matthew chapter 12, Matthew 14, one of those. Let's choose Matthew 14. Matthew 14, verse 25. "In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid.' Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water.' And Jesus said," hang on, Peter, "I'm Jesus. I do this. I'll be famous for this one day. You, Peter, what are you thinking?" Is that what he said? What was his answer? "Come." One word. One word. Peter had come down out of the boat. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But, when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him, and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And they got into the boat. The wind ceased. They got into the boat. Now, sometimes the Bible reads in a certain way, and you've got to figure out what happened. So Peter stepped out the boat and he walked to Jesus. So the platform's the boat. I step out the boat and I walk to Jesus. Now I see the wind. Now you have to ask yourself, how do you see wind? And you
You look outside, oh, there's the wind.
No. No, no, what's happening? He's looking at circumstances. And beginning to sink, he cries out. Jesus says, oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? And they went back to the boat. So evidently, they must have walked back. Isn't that right? Now, Jesus didn't pick him up and said, don't worry, I'll get you back to the boat. He made sure he came back up on that water. If you walk this far, we're walking back. You getting this? Now, let's work this out here, because this is, you got to see this. Who told Peter to walk on the water? Think about it. Who told Peter to walk on the water? I know it sounds like Jesus, but didn't Jesus know that if Peter got out, he probably would have sunk, you know? So why embarrass the man in front of his friends? Jesus was the one that said, come. But why did he say come? What did Peter say? If it's you, tell me come. So what's Jesus going to say? Peter, it's not me. No, he just told them, it is me. So he painted Jesus into a corner. Isn't that right? Didn't he teach them, whatever you say, you will have? Did he teach them that? He taught you, it was Peter that said, look at the tree. And he looked at Peter and said, you can do the same thing. If you say something, you will have what you say. Now, is he going to violate that teaching? Say, no, 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 Peter, I know you spoke, but come on, man, think about it. I'm Jesus, I walk, and you really think you can't? No, Peter let it out. He says, if it's you, it is me, tell me come. What am I supposed to do? Okay, come. Peter told Jesus to tell him, come. Who called Peter onto the water? Peter. He chose. I said, he chose. He made a choice. I said, he made a choice. And based on his choice, he must have believed it's possible. And when Jesus said, come, well then, let's do this. And he gets out and vrachis, he's walking on water. Whoa, yo, come on, yo, whoa, what? Next moment, here's the waves. Oh, down, and here's the way. And Jesus, come on, what are you doing? I mean, you got my hand. And the Bible says he began to sink. I invite you next time you go swimming, try begin sinking. You know, you jump in the water, and then you go feet, ankles, knees, hip. What's happening? I'm busy sinking. Faith doesn't exit your life. It fades. You won't wake up one morning and suddenly not have faith. It's a work. It's a work. The storm, the waves, the pains, the aches, the sorrows, the temptations, the tribulations, the persecutions. What's it doing? It's working the faith down. It's working it down. He was walking on water, but what happened was he allowed doubt to short circuit it, but there was enough faith to hold him, but it was beginning to sink. And Jesus said there was a little. That's not small. He's not saying your faith was too small. No, he's walking on water. What kind of faith do you need to walk on water? That's not little. That's not like small faith. You go look that word up in the Greek, and it is a time-based word. Short as in duration.
shortness. In other words, your faith was there, but you stopped it from working. And what stopped it from working? The doubt. Why did you doubt? So the faith is still there. Because the moment he removed the doubt, the faith went back into action. It was still there. He didn't need another word to get back up on the water. Family, don't let the devil tempt you and talk you out of your faith. I wish I had more faith. You have it. Just deal with the doubt. That's what Jesus did. He cleared the doubt. Like, do you really think wind and waves is what's stopping you from walking? Find a really quiet day and try to walk on water. The wind and the waves have nothing to do with it. Family, just because there's a recession and because interest rates are high and because this world is going berserk and crazy does not mean it's going to affect you. You are in this world, but you're not of this world. You have a word from a living God that loves you, gave his life for you, and you may be in the midst of the storm. But if you say, Lord, tell me come, he will not even hesitate, and you'll say you're entirely capable because you have made a decision to believe. And if you dare believe, get out your boat and walk on that water. Step out of that comfort zone. Make a choice for life. And the way you do that is you just remove all the doubt. And the only way to do that, get back to the Word. God, what is your will? What is your will? I'm no longer going to say, if you are willing. Here it is. I know your will. You bore every sickness. You carried every disease. By your stripes, I have been healed. You became poor, that me through your poverty, that I might be made rich. That is your will. I believe you take pleasure in the prosperity of your servant. You supply every need exceedingly, abundantly, above what I could ask or think. That's your will. I believe it. Lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Well, my job then is believe. How am I going to do that? Start laying hands. And when it looks like the person didn't get healed, no, that's a doubt. You told me lay hands. You said they'll be healed. Healing's your job. I'm done. Now it's up to you. Father, I praise and thank you. Your word is still yes and amen. 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 You getting this? Yes. The moment there's a little bit of doubt, go back to that word. And the easiest way to combat doubt is lift up your hands and say, I believe your word. Amen. Next time there's a doubt, don't take that thought saying. Don't say it. Lift your hands. Say, the word of God says. Ning, ning, ning. The word of God says. Ning, ning, ning. The word of God says. Praise you, Father. I believe you. You, me, look, I believe you. I believe you. And your brain's telling you, really? I know what you're thinking. It doesn't matter what you think I'm thinking. If you think I'm thinking, thoughts. What you thinking? Who's thinking? Yeah, is it you thinking or me thinking or that thinking? You're making me think I think I'm thinking, but you got the thing, you the thought. No, don't argue with that thing. Just shut it down. Lift your hand and say, I thank you, Father. You know my heart. But that heart has to be in my mouth as well. And I say what God says on the situation. Hallelujah. 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 You getting this? Don't hold back, family. And don't let anyone talk you out of it. Never again. Amen. How long do we do this? I'll do it till the day I draw my last breath on this planet. I say, well, look at that. He died. It just proves it didn't work. Hey, listen, newsflash. Every one of us are leaving this planet. Somewhere along the line, this body's going to give in. But I will be leaving it, praising God and shouting his praises until the day he returns. Come on, let's give Jesus praise. Let's stand together.
I hope you're empowered. I trust you are. Amen. Jesus did everything he could to remove doubt. Whatever, not once did he say, no, you're right. Can you imagine that leper? Lord, if you're willing, I know you can heal me. Jesus says, I am willing. I doubt it. He would never have got it. Are you with me? No. Don't talk yourself out of your miracle. Believe. Lift your hand and say, today I've heard the word of God. That word brought faith in my heart. I am a believer, not a doubter. As a hearer of God's word, I'm also a doer. I refuse to doubt. I don't care what happens in my head. Doubting hasn't happened until I say it. And no matter what tries to bring doubt to me, I take the word of Jesus, everything he said on the issue, and I declare the word of God. And in declaring the word, I am confessing what I believe. And Jesus said, if I would believe without doubting, I have what I say. Therefore, I have what I say. He said so. It's done. Give Jesus praise. Amen. Hallelujah.